The political dimension of the bushfires appears now to be unavoidable, best illustrated by Michael McCormack's attack on those who he dubs inner city raving lunatics, essentially anyone raising a link between climate change and the current crisis. David Crowe is the chief political correspondent with The Age and The Herald. He's in our Parliament House studios this morning. Good morning to you.
Morning, Hamish.
What do you make of the political debate about this right now? Is it wise? Is it useful? Is it the wrong time? Where do you land on this?
Not wise, not useful. Michael McCormack's remarks were intemperate, and they weren't provoked by any particularly new attack from the Greens. So he was venting at the Greens, and I can see why. They're political opponents. His leadership is not as solid as it could be, so he was playing to his base, that's for sure.
But wasn't he responding to the fact that Adam Bandt had put out a press release saying that the Prime Minister had some responsibility in putting people's lives at risk?
Well, he was justified in calling out the Greens for making it a matter of personal responsibility when people were dying in bushfires. And I found it interesting that Adam Bandt doubled down on that, and I think he's tripled down since, on the personal responsibility of Scott Morrison and Michael McCormack. And that did infuriate Michael McCormack, but I don't think that the way he vented actually helped, although he was looking strong to those Conservatives on his own side of politics. But we see that all the time with climate politics. Each side plays to its base, and that doesn't actually get a solution.
You wrote about this overnight, and I thought I saw a hint within your piece about the reaction within the halls of Parliament. How was the government, I suppose, feeling responding to the fact that Michael McCormack had been as strong as he was and made the debate about that rather than the sort of matters at hand?
There was an understanding within the government about why he did it, because of the dynamics within the Nationals. Again, internal politics coming through. But it wasn't regarded as helpful. And that's because the government has a message about the money it's spending to address the drought, the support that it's giving to the bushfire response, and the fact that it is actually saying that it's acting on climate change by reducing emissions. Yesterday in the Senate, the deputy leader of the Nationals, Bridget McKenzie, talked about how sea levels will rise, climate change will have an effect, and the government is reducing emissions. Now, there's a whole debate about whether they're reducing emissions sufficiently, but that was her argument yesterday. Very different in tone to Michael McCormack's remarks on your show yesterday morning. So there is that difference since his remarks.
Do you have any sense of whether the government is actually worried about the political fallout of this scenario? Because, you know, we just heard in that interview, they're very senior figures in the coordination side of things talking about having requested air tankers, not getting them. There are these letters which have been published from former emergency service leaders asking for meetings, wanting to warn the government that this was on the way this summer. Is there genuine concern that the government may be a bit exposed here?
I don't think so. I think, unfortunately, we're seeing a sort of a relapse into the traditional politics here of the politics of the extremes and everybody being reluctant to actually meet in the middle ground. It is interesting that the government points out that Scott Morrison has acknowledged the science in the past. Now, we do see that everybody ducks and weaves around some of the questions this week in particular, because feelings are so strong about the bushfires. I don't see a fundamental change in the dynamic, and I don't see this as being a major point at which the politics of climate change changes, unfortunately.
There is lots of other stuff going on in Parliament at the moment. I think it's worth addressing the Ensuring Integrity Bill. We spoke to Rex Patrick earlier this morning. The ACTU, as I understand, is in Parliament today, furiously lobbying the crossbenchers not to support the bill. It now looks like it might come down to One Nation senators. What do you think they'll make of this demerit point system?
There's no indication that I've seen from One Nation that they've got a fundamental difference with this bill, and so therefore they're in play in terms of their negotiations with Matthias Cormann. So their votes are there to be gained. There's a lot of confidence on the government side that they can get this over the line. And I think the unions have played it badly, although they're in Parliament House trying to lobby. But let's face it, some of the unions have run advertising campaign where they're targeting Jackie Lambie. It's completely counterproductive. She has told the union movement to drop John Setka, or she'll vote for this bill. It's pretty unequivocal. And so therefore, what's in it for her to now back down and retreat on that? She can send a message that she'll stick to her guns and actually send a message to John Setka, which she feels very strongly about. So that's why there's that confidence on the government side.
David Crowe, thank you very much indeed.
Thanks, Hamish.
David Crowe is the Chief Political Correspondent with the Melbourne Age and the Sydney Morning Herald.